Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me. Something's got a little too much gain up here. If we can, all right, there we go. If you can turn with me to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, we're starting a new series tonight titled Overcome the Darkness. And tonight's message is Crossover to Be an Overcomer. Crossover to Be an Overcomer. Mark Buchanan, in Your God is Too Safe, writes about what he calls the refuge of the stuck, which he illustrates with the description of a region called the borderlands between Kenya and Uganda. There's a fence, he says, on either side, separated by a strip of land about 100 yards wide and 300 yards long, which is a no man's land, not claimed or defended by either country. All laws are suspended here. Shoot a man, rob him, beat him. There is no laws, there's no law enforcement. The guards on either side would just stand and watch unmoved. It's strange and frightening, he says, to walk through that region. Stranger still, the place is packed with people. Peddlers, hawkers, beggars. It's a carnival of the wayward and the waylaid. Buchanan asks, why? Why would anyone choose to dwell here? Why would anyone choose to be stuck in this place? This is a very poignant question that we need to ask today regarding individuals who, in their spiritual journey, have chosen to live in the borderlands. In fact, you might remember that when Joshua led the children of Israel to cross over the Jordan River to possess the promised land, the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half of the tribe of Manasseh chose not to cross over into the promised land. Instead, they saw the land on the east side of the River Jordan was good for raising their flocks and their herds, and they staked their claim to that land. Now, the promised land was God's best for his people. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, a fertile land, a land of abundance. But the tribes of Gad, Reuben, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, without ever having seen or experienced the promised land for themselves, settled for what they saw on the other side of Jordan, what they saw on the border of the promised land. They settled for good enough content to dwell in the borderlands rather than to cross over into the promised land. Years later, Jesus would travel to these very same borderlands, to the area where the tribe of Gad had chosen to remain, and he would encounter a demon-possessed man. Read with me, if you will, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. So they arrived at either side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes, or Gadarenes, as some versions would read. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered through the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." That's the evil spirit speaking through the man. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. They happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. The Gerizines means those who came from pilgrimage or fight. And of course, the tribe of Gad had come from a pilgrimage or exodus, the pilgrimage out of Egypt. And so you can readily see the root of the word Gerizim or Gadarene from the name of the tribe Gad. So Jesus crosses over and he comes to this region of people, a tribe of Israel who centuries before had chosen to dwell in the borderlands rather than to cross over into the promised land. And the spiritual impacts of that decision are dramatically evident in what happens when Jesus arrives in this area. And this encounter holds several vital spiritual principles that still are relevant for us today. First, compromise opens the door to the demonic. Compromise will cost you the presence of God. The tribes that stayed on the other side of the Jordan, the tribes that refused to cross over into the promised land, chose to trust what they could see with their eyes rather than to walk by faith and trust what God had promised them, to trust what God had for them was better than what they could see before them. They were willing to follow God to a point, but then they stopped trusting him and chose to follow their own will. They made a compromise that for permission to remain in the borderland, the men would go over and fight with Israel to conquer the rest of the land of Canaan, the promised land. They were grateful that God had saved them from Egypt, that God had gotten them through the wilderness, but they didn't have the slightest interest in crossing over and possessing their inheritance that God had promised them. Instead, they were satisfied to dwell in the borderland while the rest of God's people crossed over to possess the promised land, their divine destiny. And that's how many Christians are, glad that God has saved us from our sin. And we certainly want his help through the wilderness of our problems. We want his help through our trials and through the messes of our own making. But we are not willing to go all the way with God. We'll follow to a point, but we're not willing to go all the way with God. Instead of living by the wisdom of his word, we often think that we know better. I know what God says, but. And we put our own will there, walking by our own wisdom. Instead of walking by faith and trusting that what God has for us is the best plan for our life, we settle for what we can see with our eyes. But as Israel moved forward to possess the promised land, they carried with them the Ark of the Covenant, the place where God's presence was manifest. So as the 2.5 tribes stayed on one side of the Jordan and Israel moved over to possess the promised land, they carried, in effect, the presence of God with them. So the presence of God was moving further and further away from the 2.5 tribes that stayed on the other side of the Jordan. Compromise will cost you God's presence. You will lose the nearness of his presence. And that drift will cause you to get further and further away from him. Now, thousands of years later, by the time Jesus visits them, they had been invaded numerous times by forces attacking Israel because the borderland was also a buffer zone for anybody attacking Israel from the east. So they had placed themselves in the invasion route between enemy territory and the land of God's people. They ended up being the first tribes carried into captivity by Assyria because they were the first tribes invaded by Assyria before the Assyrians reached the land of Canaan. And the area over time became mixed with people from foreign lands, and the Gadites intermarried together with them. And so their worship became mixed with all of these various types of idol worship that drift further and further away from God. They still had certain forms of Jewish worship, but they had long lost the presence of God. Short-term gratification leads to long-term spiritual desolation. They were so devoid of the presence of God that when Jesus shows up and does a miracle evident to everyone, what do? Instead of rejoicing, they plead with him to leave. Leave our borders. Why? Because he cost us all of our pigs. The consequence of their compromise had so compounded by the time Jesus visits that these formerly Jewish people were raising pigs. They were in the pig business. But do you remember anything that God told them about pigs in the Old Testament? Pigs were an unclean animal, according to God's law. His people were not to have anything to do with pigs. But these formerly God worshipers now find themselves in the pig business. That's how far compromise has taken them. Not only had they forsaken God's presence, they had completely forgotten how God had called them to live. It's surprising what people will get involved in when they get away from God's presence. You think, I'm okay, I'm still serving God, I'm just doing things my way, and before you know it, you're in the pig business. You're in the mud and the mire of sin because you've chosen to do things your way. So you get involved in the very things that God plainly forbids, and that now becomes central to your life. And when Jesus drives out the demons into the pigs and the pigs plummet off a cliff, the people are angry with Jesus. And they drive Jesus away. Pigs and profit was more important than God's presence to them. Compromise will eventually lead you to the place where you reject God's presence altogether because you know that you can't have God's presence and have the world at the same time. One will have to go, but by this point in your compromise, the things of the world have become more important to you than God. Compromise will eventually lead you to a place where you reject God's word and where you are devoid of God's presence, choosing to live your life your way rather than God's way. They had a form of godliness, but they had denied the power thereof. And this is true individually, and it's true of many in the church today. Many churches even have forsaken biblical correctness for political correctness. Many churches are devoid of God's presence and have chosen to live by their own standards and the world's standards rather than God's standards. Many prominent pastors that you see on TV have changed their stance in regard to certain sins that are plainly condemned in Scripture. But to be politically correct, they have embraced society standards rather than God's standards so as not to offend and keep the large crowds coming. Many churches today have settled for an emotional worship experience rather than the reality of experiencing God's presence. Because you can have an emotional worship experience with moving lights and smoke machines and video atmospheres, and you can have an experience and yet live life your own way because you're not necessarily experiencing God, you're having an emotional experience with worship music. And you can go on living the way you want to live. But if you draw near to the presence of God, it will change you. When you get into the presence of God, you cannot stay the way you are. You can't keep doing what you were doing because the presence of God will change you. So many people in churches have chosen to dwell in the borderland, close, but not committed to God, rather than crossing over to the place of consecration and going deep into God's presence and the things that God has for us. But the good news is that Jesus crossed over to them. He came to them and he visited them and he brought ministry to them and he did a miracle among them. But sadly, they rejected him. They did not honor or recognize the miracle that he had done. And the warning to us is, let us not be like them. Let us not be like them. Compromise will not only cost you the presence of God, but compromise will culminate in demonic strongholds, because you're either in the kingdom of God under the rulership of Christ, or you are going to be under the rulership and dominion of darkness. The Bible makes it clear that there is only two ways: the kingdom of God and his rulership, or the dominion of darkness and Satan's rulership. So compromise will take you away from God's presence and culminate in demonic strongholds. Notice the first thing Jesus encounters when he lands on the shores of Gadara is a demon-possessed man. And as far as possessions go, this is the worst recorded possession in Scripture. The man was possessed by a legion of demons. When you use the word legion, it speaks of a very large number, and the fact that when Jesus cast the demons out of this man, that they inhabited 2,000 pigs suggests that the man was possessed by 2,000 demons. There was such a strong manifestation of the demonic in this man. It reflects the intense demonic activity that was at work in this region. This is what had become of the Gadarenes. Whenever a person, a church, or a country distances themselves from the presence of God, the demonic will move in to the vacuum. The vacuum of God's presence, left by God's presence, will be filled by darkness. And the further away from the presence of God, the more intense the demonic activity will become. We are seeing the evidence of this in the decline of spiritual commitment among many believers today. 10 years ago, the average Christian attended church 2 to 3 times a week. Now they attend 1 to 2 times a month. How can you be discipled? How can you grow spiritually when there is no commitment? How can you serve in ministry and use your gifts and grow, because serving in ministry is a part of our spiritual growth? How can you serve in ministry and use your gifts from your easy chair at home? You can't. And that's why we're seeing the increase of what I refer to as self-styled Christianity. It's what happened in the days of Judges as well, when the Bible says that the people did what was right in their own eyes. But we know where that led with them, right? It brought the invasion and domination of the enemy 7 cycles throughout the book of Judges, because the people had stepped out from under the covering of God's protection by doing what was right in their own eyes. And we're seeing the evidence of spiritual decline in the church, where the church is becoming more and more like the world and devoid of the power and presence of God. I saw a quote by A.W. Tozer, and it kind of made me chuckle, but at the same time, it grieved my heart. It said that when the presence of God is missing, you will need more and more coffee and donuts to attract people. And that's what we see happening today. There are churches that have a Starbucks in their foyer. They have a branch of Starbucks or some other main coffee branch in their foyer to attract people. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with serving coffee or serving donuts, but it certainly cannot be a substitute for God's presence. And coffee and donuts alone are not going to change lives. Coffee and donuts alone will not bring the anointing of God. And we are seeing the ramifications of a compromised church in the fact that the church has lost its influence in society. Do you know that here in America, at one time, the church was central to society? People had a need or they wanted direction. Where did they look? They looked to the church. They looked to spiritual leaders. But that is no longer the case. The church is no longer central to society. It's on the periphery of society, and society is wanting to push it all the way out, all the way out. And it's because the church is becoming more and more like the world and devoid of the power and presence of God. And when we draw back from the presence of God, we see the intense activity of Satan, the intense activity of darkness increasing. And that's what we're seeing in society with the increase of mass shootings, mental illness, sexual immorality, drug addiction, alcohol, and the list goes on and on. When we draw back from the presence of God, the enemy will come in like a flood. But the good news is that the opposite is also true. The Bible says that if we will draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. The second thing I want us to see is that just like compromise opens the door to demonic strongholds, consecration opens the door to the presence of God. Consecration is the key to spiritual anointing and authority. If we want the presence and power of God in our lives, we have to refuse to compromise and be fully committed to seeking God and living by his word. Then we don't need to be afraid of demons. They will be afraid of us. The moment Jesus stepped out of the boat, the demons recognized him. They knew the authority that he possessed. And the Bible says that when he was still some distance away, the demons recognized him and were terrified because they recognized that he had the spiritual authority to drive them out. So they shrieked and they screamed and they pleaded with Jesus, "Do not torture us." Let me tell you something. Demons cannot remain comfortable in the presence of God. Demons should not be comfortable in our presence or in our churches. The presence of God in us and in our midst should strike terror in their hearts. The Holy Spirit in us should upset the demonic spirits at work in the lives of those around us. I remember one of the very first jobs I held when I was in my latter teens, just in college, was at Montgomery Ward Credit Center. Remember Montgomery Ward's? It was kind of like a Sears. Okay, so they had a credit center, and so I worked on the online when people called in for their credit cards about their bills and stuff like that. And I had just gotten the job. I was doing well. I was one of their top agents. And there was a lady in that department that just had it out for me. She made up lies. She went to the supervisor. She tried to get me fired. They talked to me and told me what was going on. And they said, "But we don't see any validity to what she's saying. You're doing your work, et cetera, et cetera." She told them I was hanging up on customers and all sorts of things. And they said, "We don't see any of that." But later on came to find out this woman was a spiritist. And the spirit of God in me and the demonic spirit in her were in conflict, and she could not be at peace when the presence of God was there in me. And so she was doing everything within her power, and I never had anything, you know, I never had any kind of conflictual interaction with her and everything. I was pleasant with her. I didn't even know this about her till long after. But you could see when I discovered it, I recognized what was at work there. There was a spiritual battle that was raging there. And when the Spirit of God is upon a person, when the Spirit of God is in a place, the demonic cannot be comfortable to remain there. And consecration gives God control. When Jesus arrived on the scene, the demons could no longer do what they wanted to do. They were subject to Jesus. Before that time, they could ravage that man. They could inflict pain and torture upon that man. But once Jesus showed up, they could no longer do what they wanted to do. They knew that Jesus would cast them out and that they would have to obey. So they pleaded for permission to be cast into the pigs. They had to ask permission of Jesus. They couldn't any longer do what they just wanted to do. They had to obey what Jesus said. Jesus overrode the will of the demons. They had to leave the man and go into the pigs, and the pigs went crazy and jumped off a cliff because the demonic will always bring destruction. They were destroying the man's life. Now they destroy the pigs. But darkness must obey Christ in us rather than us compromising with darkness. And the herdsmen who had been keeping the pigs, they ran into the town and the surrounding areas telling everybody what had happened. And the people came to see for themselves, and they find this crazed man, this man formerly crazed, that they all apparently knew about, clothed, sitting at Jesus' feet, and in his right mind. This man who had once been uncontrollable, not even chains could hold him, no body could subdue him, suddenly he regained control of his life through the presence of Jesus, and he was sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind. When you draw near to Jesus, he will empower you to have control over the things in your life that were once uncontrollable, the strongholds of darkness. He can set the alcoholic free. He can set the drug addict free. He can set the sexually immoral free. He can set the porn addict free. He can set the bulimic free. He can set the anorexic free. Or whatever has been controlling your life, he can break those chains over you. He will restore your right mind. He will enable you to think rightly again, so that your mind is not dominated by sin, dominated by negativity, dominated by destructive thoughts or ungodly thinking. Sin will lose its attraction as we die to flesh and allow the life of Christ to reign in us. But the flesh doesn't want to die, does it? The flesh resists. Just like the Gadarenes who were upset over the loss of their pigs and asked Jesus to leave. That's what the flesh does. It rises up and wants to say, Jesus, leave. The flesh fights against giving up its old sinful ways, but you can't have Jesus and hold on to your sin at the same time. Jesus is calling us to leave the borderlands, to leave our pigs, to leave our compromised life, and come fully into his presence, to draw near to him, and to commit to follow him all the way. He doesn't want us to stay in the borderlands, in a state of compromise, because that is where sin and darkness will gain control over our lives. Jesus wants more of you because he wants better for you. He wants freedom for you. He wants a better life for you. He wants the best life, the life he has planned for you. It amazes me that Jesus crossed over to Gadara to reach a people who had refused to cross over. But it speaks volumes to us that no matter how far away we may get from his presence, and no matter how strong the grip of sin and darkness in our lives, in his grace, Jesus is coming to us, calling us. He wants to set us free from the influence of sin and darkness, and he's calling us to come close. He's calling us to live in nearness to his presence, to make a full commitment, to walk in all of his will for us. He just says, cross over, commit to go all the way with me. And tonight, that's what he's calling for, is an all-out commitment to say, Jesus, I'm not just going to follow you partway and my will partway, but I'm going to go all the way with you. I'm going to cross over. I'm going to consecrate myself to live close to you and go all the way with following you. And if that's your heart's desire, would you just bow your head right where you are and just make that commitment to the Lord tonight? Heavenly Father, we just come before you tonight. We thank you for your word, because your word is life, and your word convicts, and your word changes, Lord God. And tonight we say, Lord, kill our pigs, kill the idols, the things for which we have compromised because we held them as more important in our lives than your very presence. Break the powers of darkness that we have opened the doors to by our compromise and disobedience. And fill our lives afresh and anew with your presence. Let your will be done in us as it is in heaven, Lord God. We commit to you tonight to go all the way with you. No more compromise. Help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to live out this commitment, that our lives may bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We love you. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.